my slogan, you know? A good laugh and a good cry are good medicine.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh, it's my pleasure to be with you here on another episode of the Autoimmune Hour. I've invited a special guest back because last time we were together, we got into it and I just felt like there was so much more for her to share. And then it's been built on with the work that we've had, the podcast with Dr. David Clark. He shared a lot about the mind-body connection, as well as so many others Sarah Payton has shared on our show. Dr. Tanya G inspires her patients to seek health and wellness through the holistic practices of traditional Chinese medicine. As a graduate of the International College of Traditional Chinese Medicine in Vancouver, BC, she completed her postgraduate studies and clinical practice in Hefei, I hope I said that right, and Shanghai, China. Tanya holds the highest rank in her profession in the province of British Columbia as a registered doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. Her passion is assisting patients to understand how their mind and body are connected and that the order for the body to heal, we must first heal the mind. And I want to take a step back from that because we're going to talk to Tanya today. Besides healing, I think we first have to understand our mind. And oftentimes, for me, that was the starting point because I understood the concept of healing my mind and embracing the spirit. But gosh, before I could heal it, I think I even had to know my mind. So I thought we'd bring her on and begin to discuss this idea of how to heal the mind and embracing our spirit is one of the first steps that she recommends. So welcome back. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Sharon. I feel extremely honored. This is a fantastic show and I love all the work you're doing to promote awareness for autoimmune. Not just autoimmune, it's about healing humanity. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. I do like to think that the things that we offer on the Autoimmune Hour are relevant for any sort of healing, whether it's mind, body, or spirit, or all three. Let's talk today about this idea of embracing the spirit. All too often, especially I'll say in Western med, gosh, the whole idea of us having a spirit and that it may need healing in and of itself, or is it connected to our healing, is completely disregarded. Well, to me, it's like a third of the healing process has been forgotten. Share with us this idea of how it's not just healing the body.
My background is traditional Chinese medicine, and we'll put the stressors on the word traditional. This medicine is thousands of years old. So is Ayurvedic medicine. You know, so is Tibetan medicine. They're ancient. And with these ancient practices, the idea of spirit has always been part of the jewels. The jewels are the body, the mind, the spirit. So, of course, bring us to present day. What do we know? We know all about Western medicine. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a necessary thing, of course. But our humanity is missing out on the other two gems or jewels, the incorporation of the mind, how we think, how we feel. And then there is the spirit. What is the spirit? In traditional Chinese medicine, spirit needs to be defined. And it is like a precious energy, an energy that's not necessarily in manifested form, but it's something you can feel, something that moves, something that has power. And I like to say something a little trippy, and it is, who is looking through your eyes?
Oh, I love that.
Who is looking through your eyes?
That is great. Yes.
Isn't that trippy, Sharon? I remember hearing that at a workshop I did 20 years ago, and it blew my mind. It was something I really didn't think about. Who is looking through your eyes? So I like to inspire the patients who come see me to think deeper and more profound than they ever have before in order to look at ways we can manage and possibly reverse, because I never want to promise anything, the symptoms of their illness or condition. See, I'm interested in the whole person, and that includes the mind, the body, and the spirit. So when I say, who's looking through your eyes? I wait. And then they always have that profound look on their face, like, oh.
It is trippy. But when you start to think about it, I thought about myself, and then I immediately went to my younger self and my future self. And then oddly, some other people kind of popped in. Yeah. My mom's voice popped in. My dad's voice popped in. Sibling voices popped in. It was amazing. This is just me, but it wasn't just me. All sorts of things came, like, oh my gosh, when I really think about it, there are certain things that happen and I get triggered or react, something, a reaction I learned from my childhood or something like that. It's always surprising to me. Now that you framed it that way, boy, that's even trippier.
The other side is, who is speaking in your mind? Where does it come from? What about ideas? Where do our ideas come from? Where does inspiration come from? Where does your intuition come from? So I ask people, and it's, of course, the answer is going to be different for every person. It's a personal thought. It's a personal experience. But I like to incorporate that in the healing process, because I feel my personal experience is that it is an energy force called love. It is an energy force that extends us. It is an energy force that's everywhere. And that flows through us. But there is what they say, we belong to a thread of energy. Everyone belongs, has this thread of energy. It gives us our uniqueness. But the thread can be traced back to the greater whole, which is love.
Wow.
It's a force. If you want to get more spiritual, like, some people are uncomfortable with the word God. I used to be allergic to the word God. But now I just say God is love. So simple. God is love. I spend a big chunk of my life as a Buddhist, a very devout Buddhist. And part of that time, I chose the monastic life. I was a Buddhist nun for a short time in my life. And I experienced such great states of deep peace and love for Buddha. But I also never stopped loving God. God is love. So that expanded my personal study with the different faiths of the world. I wanted to understand the similarities, not the differences. By doing that, I was able to connect deeper with the patients in front of me, because everyone has their own belief systems. Some don't believe at all spiritually, but it doesn't mean they don't love. I'll tell you, I have a woman in my practice who always says to me, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's anything other than this life. And then I said, do you believe in love? And she goes, well, of course I do. And I said, well, God is love. And I said, do you love your children? She goes, of course I do. I said, and if your child was hurt, would you do anything for your child? She goes, of course I would. I said, well, that force, that love is deeply spiritual within your heart, and nothing can cut the bond of a mother and a child. I wanted to inspire to see something a little different about what is spirituality, what is love. Now, it's that particular force, Sharon, that can heal if we can harness that, right? As you know, when we're ill, we get down. It hurts. It corrodes our vitality.
It does.
So it's what do we do then?
There are times that you get down in the pit, and it's really hard to pull yourself back up out of the pit. And it's not helpful when sometimes people say, I had someone tell me, and I knew it was coming from love, but you have to be a little careful, because they said, well, sure, and there's always hope. And I just smiled and thanked them, but inside I went, that's really not what I needed to hear at that moment. I think it's interesting, this interweave between our idea. I love your concept that it's all love. That's very reassuring versus this idea of hope to me. I don't know. I know they're all beliefs, but somehow hope to me is less concrete to me than love is.
And when people say that, it's a little, I don't want to use the word elusive. It's kind of like something you're striving for. It's never something you attain. Hope is something that's like a carrot. You always have hope. There's your carrot thing. You know, the word love, we've all experienced it. But of course, we have this darkened mind that can make us forget about it. We've all experienced some loving kindness in our life. And we've all been someone who offered loving kindness somewhere, sometime in our lives, some more than others. So it's there, right? But we forget. So the process of waking up consciously, allowing ourselves to gather the resilience, the strength, the courage, the right mindset to fight inside to heal, you know, because there is a battle against the negative mind inside, right? We have to gather our resources. We've got to gather our, what we'll call our cosmic weapons. It's love, right? It's the most powerful force. Oh my God, we could talk a whole lifetime on love, but we're here talking about autoimmune. So how does this all apply to autoimmune, right?
Well, one question I had, which is interesting, because when you were saying, I was thinking of sort of the outside forces too. It's not just my own internal battle. I remember when I first got the diagnosis, no longer with that practitioner, but it was, sorry, this is lifelong. You're just going to have to live with it. And you're just going to go, you know, and list it off all this downhill tumble. And I have to tell you, it took a lot of courage just to say, thank you, but no, thank you. I'll seek other more positive people with a different outlook, because too often our first exposure is through someone who just reads off the list. And it can be a very discouraging list, and it doesn't have to be. I think the Autoimmune Hour has shown a lot of people that, including myself, that are not just surviving, but we're absolutely thriving regardless of our diagnosis. And I think it comes down to our spirit part and our mindset part. So let's talk a little bit, because maybe this is new to people, and I agree about love, and it's loving ourselves and having compassion for ourselves and allowing others to love us. A lot of times when we get this diagnosis, it's actually a weird reaction I want to talk to you about. It's done out of love, but it's this idea of like, oh, I'm fine.
Oh, yeah.
We don't allow others to love us or help us, because we're just like, we don't want to be a burden. So we'll go, we might be inside still really struggling, but going, oh, I'm fine. So that's another thing we can talk about as far as our connecting to love and actually just letting go to love.
Yeah, there's a lot of shielding that happens, isn't it? How you doing? Good. It's a lack of authenticity. Because there are different ways we can do it. I think a lot of people, including myself, find it challenging sometimes to ask for what it is that you need in that moment. And what if it is just, can you just hold my hand? When you get your hand held, the tears will fall, you know? And if you could say to someone, can you please just hold my hand, and are you okay with me with my tears in this moment? Who says no? You know, who says no? Right?
Well, I think if they say no, you've learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, some people might not know what to do with the tears. So we have to be able to make sure that, like, I'm okay. Yeah. I just need a good cry. You know, sometimes a good cry works wonders.
Yeah. That's my slogan, you know. A good laugh and a good cry are good medicine, you know? In my office, I only have the very best tissues. You know, those triple layer with the lotion? You just got to be soft and thick enough to absorb all of the snot and all of the tears. I think it's important. I call them angel tissues. You know, it's a miracle. They just absorb everything. But, you know, a good laugh and a good cry are so important. But I do have a couple of, not tricks, but a couple of exercises that I do with my patients, especially in crisis.
Let's hold those, because I got to take a quick commercial break. I hear the music coming up here. So let me take a quick commercial break, and we'll get back to these. Thanks for you to stay on over the commercial. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm here with Dr. Tanya Ji, and she is a traditional Chinese medicine expert, and she's been sharing with us all these great ideas of how to connect with our spirit and love and, I'll say, shifting our mindset to be open to all of these things. And you were going to share right before that music came up and we had to take the commercial break, some exercises that we can do, because maybe some of us are going, well, that sounds really good, Dr. Tanya, but how do we do it?
There is a little exercise that I've even done on many occasions. I've actually struggled for some very serious pain. I've actually had back surgery at one point and had some severely herniated disc that left me in some paralysis and with a lot of nerve pain. And in these moments, I felt so beaten down from a lack of vitality, from the thought that maybe I'm never going to heal. And I felt alone. Again, I was ashamed by my vulnerability and I had a difficult time asking for help. But what I did do is this practice, it's a bit of a Buddhist practice. The practice is, as we breathe in and breathe out and put our attention on the breath, we start to realize there is a rhythm and a pattern. And as we breathe in and slow it down to breathe out, there is this moment in between the breaths, a momentary pause. And in that pause, the Buddhist say peace exists. As we breathe in and we breathe out, notice the momentary pause between the breaths. And in the Buddhist faith, we say, when we are consumed by the past, we have regret. When we are consumed by the future, we have anxiety. But in that momentary pause between the breaths, we have peace. So when I have patients on the table who are in crisis, they are crying, they are beaten down by the pressures, the stress, the pain, the suffering, I put them through this breathing process. And as they come to this place of momentary peace, I say, and in this moment, you are okay. and you breathe in and you breathe out. And I said, in this moment, you are okay. So we get the mind in sync with the breath, which is the physical, and you calm the emotional state. You can find that moment of peace. And before you know it, we have a lot of those moments of peace. And then when we acknowledge we have a lot of those moments of peace, we recognize we are not constantly in pain. We are not constantly in suffering. We are not constantly beaten down. So the whole process of healing can be shrunken down to this minute moment of peace. And that's what the Buddhists talk about, the peaceful existence. It is not in the future. It's not something we talk about because we did it 10 years ago. It's what we can do right now. So that is a metaphor for our emotional and physical states. Because yes, you know what? Autoimmune is not fun. Autoimmune is like a big thing on our back. It's there, but we don't have to suffer all the time. We can just keep finding those moments of peace.
I love that. I fell into a little trance. If you're watching me on the video and not Dr. Tanya, probably realize, whoa, she just left us for a moment. I love that because I was doing the breath and just concentrating on those moments of peace, and I could hear you, but I was taken away to a very comfortable place. This is amazing how easy this is to do. You could do it in a grocery checkout line. I mean, this is amazing.
The purpose of it is to break the cycle of suffering. That's the whole purpose of this exercise. Because with chronic illness, our minds are conditioned to think that it is a permanent state. And it's caused you nothing but horribleness, and it's never going to end. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, you know? So now you have the simple but profound exercise to break the cycle of suffering. And that's what we need to do. So it's one of your tools, right? I call the cosmic tools, the tools of the light. The light is love. How do we break suffering to return to center? And that's what that momentary peace does, brings you in alignment to your mind, your body, your heart, right? Get right down to that moment and breathe. Because that's our existence, right? Everybody, that new age buzz thing, you know, there's no better place than the present. Well, then weren't they telling the truth? It's like, what do we do now, right? It's stay right here, right? Just enjoy that moment. And then we have much more of those moments. We can be very present to what life has to offer. We could be more calm, but life has to offer.
Yeah, this is so profound to me because Dr. Joe Tata, chronic pain expert, he didn't go this deep into it, but one of the statements he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, wish I had the exact phrase, but he was talking about how, let's say you sprain your ankle, and there is some real pain as the body is, you know, repairing. He said, the problem is that the mind gets used to the suffering of the pain and doesn't know imagination from reality and doesn't know when to let go. And you're telling us, you just gave this amazing exercise to teach the body, like, you can let go. I love that. Oh my goodness, this is just so serendipitous.
And think about on a chemical level, on a biological level, when we breathe in and breathe out and bring the nervous system into a place of calm, our body then can actually start repairing itself, right? Because when you think about hormones, when we're in pain, when we're in stress, the cortisol, which is the stress hormone, is like firing. It's like full blast. And when we come back to this state of calm, it's the faucet starts to turn off. And then we could stop secreting all of these stress hormones. Inflammation can start coming down. We want our bodies to calm down and come back to this place called homeostasis, this calm, this balance. Balance is the key. Balance is the key. And everybody knows it. Now, I'm interested in how do you do it, right?
Absolutely. That's what I love about you, because, you know, I'm thinking of all of these other podcasts we've done, and it's been great information. But what I've always loved about you, Dr. Tanya, is you bring a very holistic out from all of the different disciplines and put it into easy to learn exercises. Who can't take a few minutes and or a few moments even and concentrate on our breathing and concentrate on that moment of pause where there's peace? So I interrupted you, but I was so excited. Share with us. You were going to share with us another exercise or another great concept about this.
Well, I have another gem I wanted to share that's herbal. Since I'm a doctor of Chinese medicine, I wanted to offer my favorite power mushroom, not magic, power. Well, it is kind of magical with its power. Have you heard of reishi mushroom before? Reishi?
You know, I saw it at the farmer's market the other day, and they had it bagged up in a little poster about tea, but I looked in there and they were all busy, so I kind of walked off. I'll have to pay attention. So tell me, what
please,
is it? Because it looked interesting.
Please Google search reishi mushroom and autoimmune disorder. So reishi is spelled R-E-I-S-H-A, reishi. It is one of the top and most powerful traditional Chinese herbs that we use. And in the pinyin, which is it's L-I-N-G-Z-H-I, pronounced Lingzi. That's the Mandarin version of the herb. This herb is the number one herb I dispense for autoimmune disorder. It is safe for autoimmune because what it won't do is push your immune system above and over what it can do. And some herbs can do that, so you want to avoid that. But for autoimmune, reishi is extremely safe. And this, when you start researching what it can do, you're going to ask yourself, why isn't everybody on this one herb? It has the ability to modulate your immune function. So if it's under functioning, brings it back up. Over functioning, it brings it back down. It helps to create a stronger nervous system so it can handle more stress. Not that we want to, but we're beaten down. So it helps to repair and strengthen. It actually nourishes the blood and the vitality of the body. And with any type of chronic illness, we become depleted over time. So I could spend a whole hour talking about the benefits of this one herb, but when you Google search it, you'll say, ask yourself, why isn't everybody on it? But from a practitioner perspective, I want to encourage people to look at that. If it's appropriate for you, consider. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit over a long period of time. You don't take a handful of this. You just take a little bit every day, little bits. In Chinese medicine, it's called the longevity herb. Chinese are all about longevity. So this one is my favorite, reishi.
Wow, great. Now, everyone, as she said, be sure and check it out. Run it past your own care providers to make sure that it's right for you, because there are so many autoimmune conditions and so many different ways to approach it. But I'm going to go check it out with my care provider. We need to take one more quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after this.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And we're here with Dr. Tanya G, and she is a traditional Chinese medicine expert. And she's been sharing all these great ideas for balancing our entire, I'll say existence. I was going to say body, but that makes it sound like it's just the physical part. She's been sharing us the three priorities, the body, mind, and we've been talking about the spirit and sharing ideas about how the spirit is often overlooked and balancing our body needs to have the spirit balanced. So we've shared this idea of the breathing exercise and this reishi mushroom, and we'll check that out. Reishi mushroom, check that out with your healthcare providers. What else can we do? I mean, this idea, well, the three parts of the foundation that need to be balanced for true healing to happen.
Well, I'd like to share, Sharon, a story about one of my patients. And it was her that inspired a slightly different mindset about healing. And her name was Allie Miracle. And she had been my patient for many years. And she was the epitome of health in my mind. She was a vegetarian and completely strong and healthy in her body. She journaled. She did yoga. She was a poet. She loved African drumming. She was a dancer. She was an absolute joy. She's a mother of two. And she was just an absolute delight. And she would come in and she was just positive and proactive. And one of her dreams was to learn French. And so at the age of 53, she jumped on a plane and went to France and started to learn French. And however, she started to feel unwell. And it got to the point where she jumped a plane and went back home. But on the flight back and as she was landing into Vancouver Airport, she had a grand mal seizure. And they brought her to VGH and she was diagnosed with a brain tumor, a cancerous, inoperable brain tumor. She died shortly after, about 6 months, I believe, 6 to 9 months after. And I watched her through her transition and loved her. And it shook me to the core. Because I thought, how is it that someone who has done everything right according to the books could have this? And I remember holding her hand and I was crying and I said to her, I am so saddened that you're leaving. And oh, sorry, I'm getting emotional. And she smiled and she held my hand and she says, Tanya, do you know what the doctors told me? And I said, what? She said, they told me that my tumor was 10 years old. Wow. And I said, it's a long time. And she said, I don't believe them. And I said, why not? She goes, because I think that with all of my good health, my good lifestyle, I think my tumor was 20 years old.
Wow.
And so what she was saying was that her life and how she conducted herself in her life extended her life. And that, when she told me this, it completely changed the way I look at illness, disease, and how we show up in this world. So it brings me back to this Buddhist teaching. The Dalai Lama talked about how we only have control over what we think, what we say, and what we do in this world. So, and you always can be loving and kind. And so what if, Sharon, it was true about Allie that because of her natural loving tendencies, she actually slowed the growth of that tumor. If that tumor was supposed to take her all those years ago, her kindness and her loving and her loving ways of thinking and compassion to herself extended her life for 10 more years. Then what a blessing. What a blessing. So when I have a patient on my table who is in anguish over their condition, we talk and I say, what if all of those good things that you have done in your life has extended your life and we still don't know how much life you have left? So why not continue to be loving and kind, not only to others, but for yourself, being so compassionate for yourself and just be in this state of gratitude every day? Because none of us know, Sharon, how much time we have. None of us know. It's one of those mysteries in life. And we cannot afford to be anxious about that. We have to keep using that breathing technique to bring us back to the moment and enjoy and cultivate those states of gratitude and loving kindness and gentleness towards ourselves. And the pain, the suffering does not have to be permanent. It could be broken. And as we break those moments, we're coming back to center, our bodies respond. It calms down. It gives it the opportunity to heal. And the mystical thing is, in those moments, we are so in a line. We suddenly feel better. We're suddenly feeling calmer. We suddenly have these moments of inspiration, these moments of kindness, of feelings of peace wash over us. Where does that come from, Sharon? Who's looking through our eyes? Who is feeding us this intuition, this kindness, this love? We're spirit, baby. It's spirit. Love. That's what we're all connected with.
What a beautiful story and a beautiful concept. A couple of things came to my mind, but we need to take a really quick commercial break here and we'll be back because I want to give plenty of time here for this thought. We'll be right back and I'm going to ask Dr. Tanya about this idea of why it's so hard to have self-compassion. So I'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing. So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're talking here with Dr. Tanya Ji, and she's a traditional Chinese medicine expert, as well as, I like to say, one of our resident experts here, because I just love having her go deep into these subjects that sometimes seem hard to understand. I mean, we get so many outside sources, outside beliefs, outside things piled on us, I'll say, especially as children, which at four is fascinating. But then I'm running it out in my own mind to myself, and I'm going, where do we get the beliefs that we always put ourselves last, that it's, you know, it's selfish, or, and I guess it doesn't matter where we get them, but how do we exercise them? How do we? Well, I talk to people with autoimmune all the time, and one of the things that they struggle with is self-forgiveness, self-compassion, self-love. To me, it's often the most kindest, sweetest people are the hardest on themselves, and I'm fascinated by that.
I have another exercise that I inspire my patients to do in moments where there is that self-anguish, or the self-doubt, or the self-harming emotionally. And I like to offer them this visualization of them as a little child, say 2 years old. If we can see ourselves in our mind's eyes as a two-year-old who is crying, who is hurt, you're not going to look at that visualization of our little selves and say, suck it up. What's your problem? Can't you take care of it? Why don't you go do something? I'm busy. What's wrong with you? We would never do that with nobody, right? Our two-year-old self in front, we would pick up our two-year-old self and we would console. You would console that smaller selves, our smaller selves. We would kiss our smaller selves on the forehead. We would cuddle. Men would do the same thing. You know, it's not just women. We would just comfort, console, and protect this little self. And so when someone is crying on my table, I say, let's do a little visualization. Let's go there. And there's a softening that happens, because now we're connected to that self-love. We can give and offer ourselves that love, that comfort, the protection that we find hard to do that to our adult self. But that little self is no different. It's the same spirit inside. So that one little exercise can just shift the perception. And that's what we need. We need any tool that creates a little shift. For those who are super intellectual and analytical, that doesn't resonate. I'm a visual person, so it totally resonates with me. Then I offer another gem. And there's another gem. You ask that question about where does this self-sabotage come
from? That's a good
from,
word for it, yeah. You know?
And there's this interesting concept, and I have a fantastic teacher by the name of Juan Ruiz Nalpari. He's a beautiful Peruvian man, extremely wise. And he has taught me about the three different faiths that we talk about: Buddhism, we talk about Hinduism, and we talk about Gnostic Christianity. And we talk about these similarities. And he taught me something that is the answer to the question. The question is, where does that self-sabotage come from? What's that negative mindset? Where does that negative noise, that negative voice, what is it? Where does it come from? In the Tibetan Buddhist faith, Buddha talks about the 84,000 negative emotional states.
84,000
negative.
Okay.
Negative emotional states. That's in the mind. They've mapped it out. And
I had no idea it was that many.
It's crazy, right? And only one love, Sharon. One love. The one love trumps it all. Oh, I don't want to use that word trump, but the one love conquers it all. In the Hindu faith, there's this beautiful book called the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of their spiritual texts. And in there, there is this young warrior who's being counseled by Krishna, which is their god. And Krishna is counseling Arjuna on how to defeat the 84,000 demons that they're out to get him. 84,000 demons. And then in the Gnostic Christian faith, it was Christ that talked about the 84,000 egos.
Wow.
Egos. So basically, you're talking about the same thing, whether it's negative emotional states, whether it's demons or egos, they're all the same. Basically, in humanity's psyche, there are 84,000 voices of that negative talk. That negative talk and only one love.
No wonder it sounds noisy in there at times.
And it only takes love. Right? So you ask yourself, what is that? What is that voice? Well, it's the negative aspect to our psyche. It's the egoic aspect of our psyche, right? And it's there, but who are we going to listen to? Love or that? And I tell you, that's the work, isn't it? It's the psychological battle. So when we have illness, autoimmune disorder, chronic illness, we get beaten down. That means we need more attention to focus on the love, because that's where our power comes from. It doesn't come from this egoic aspect. Those voices are beating you down. And we already know it. It only takes one little voice. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm fat. I'm old. Nobody's going to love me. I'm disgusting.
Yeah.
Right? That's one voice. Who are we going to listen to? That negative aspect or love? The love just whispers. It just says, I am okay. That's all it says. I am love. I am compassion. I am kindness. I am patient. I am love. That's it. Doesn't have to say anything else. Doesn't have to prove anything. So that's our link though, Sharon. You know, you talk about spirit. To access spirit, you have to observe the mind, to be aware of the mind, but you have to access the emotional state, because the emotional state is the most powerful mover and a shaker. It's emotion that makes us cry. It's emotion that makes us laugh out loud. It's emotion that gets us to, you know, to feel. So we need to access the emotional state.
But sometimes it's hard to access it. Sometimes it's really hard to access it, or it's fearful to access it. How many times I'm thinking where something would start to bubble up and oh, not here, not now. And you're sort of pushing it down, you know, as you said, sucking it up. And do you have tips for us that now that we know there's 84,000 and the one, and instead of stuffing it or, you know, sucking it up or pushing it down, whatever the metaphor is for you.
Breathe.
I guess breathe. Okay. Because right now you saw me thinking I didn't even have an emotion,
breathe.
But I stopped breathing.
That,
isn't that fascinating?
That is, you know, what they say, life is breath. And without the breath, we extinguish life. So I know a lot of people are uncomfortable with emotions. I'm not saying you have to go out there and be every emotion you feel. But breathe, sit with it. The Buddhists talk about sitting in the fire. You're angry, sit and breathe, observe it. Allow yourself to feel the tingleness in your hands and your heart. Observe it, sit in it. Don't try to distract it. Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a beautiful Zen Buddhist who is recovering from a severe stroke, he wrote a book called Anger. And he said in the first chapter, he said, our emotions are like children. We need to pay attention immediately. So So if you feel anger, you don't just say, yeah, okay, anger, great. Well, I'm just gonna make a few phone calls and answer a few emails and do some laundry and maybe watch some TV, and then maybe I'll deal with you. And he said, no, you drop what you got going right now and you sit in it and you pay attention, because anger and those negative emotional states are corrosive to the mind and to the body. And it will cut off your connection to your heart, which is the entryway of your spirit. All spirit resides in your heart. And within the heart of your heart is where your infinite spirit resides. So let's be observant and let's do our diligent work in the healing process. So all chronic illness has an emotion attached to it. You know, Sharon, I know you know that, and I know all your listeners know that. So let's continue to do the work to observe those emotional states. Observe them, breathe them, work it out. Some people want to write it all down, which is great. Some people want to do major breath work and release it. Some people want to see a counselor, release it. Good. Do whatever works with you and acknowledge it and work with it and release it. It's like a burden. Let's get that burden off so we can feel light. Allow your body to heal. Allow the mind to be softened. Allow the spirit to envelope you. God is love.
Oh, I love that. And I was just getting ready to ask that question. Like, okay, so I'm sitting with it, then what? And so I'm glad you answered that, because that was one of my first thoughts. Okay, I don't want to stew in it. And that was my first thought. If I'm just sitting there, I don't want to be stewing in it. And you've shared that with us about how to release it. So I appreciate that. We have just a little bit of time left. Any parting thoughts on this idea of how we can begin to incorporate all of these and continue our growth in embracing the spirit for our healing?
I think people need to educate themselves. You know, there's a lot of great teachers out there who are offering their knowledge. Like, for instance, Thich Nhat Hanh. If you look at some of the books that he's written, they're beautiful. I enjoyed Carolyn Miss. She's written some great, great books. She had a profound impact on me in my beginning states. And, you know, actually, there's another book I'd like to suggest that is, it's called Many Lives, Many Masters. Have you heard of this book? It's by Dr. Brian Weiss.
No.
It's an oldie but a goodie. It's over 20 years old and has been translated in all these different languages. And this will inspire the whole spiritual aspect. He's a psychiatrist that had a patient that came in, and he ended up doing some hypnosis on her, and she slipped into a past life. And he didn't know what to do with this because he's a medical doctor, untrained. And the patient, she had such incredible revelations that had an impact on her life. And so she came back and said, let's do that again. And he did. And more information came up. And I'm not going to spoil the story. But here's the psychiatrist who took a risk and wrote the book because he was fearful that he was going to be ridiculed. But what happened was he was embraced. And here's this concept of past lives that was written by a man who has a very good medical reputation. So he gave validity to it. It's called Many Lives, Many Masters. Consider reading this book.
I'll have to look it up.
Expand the possibility that what if we did live multiple lives? And here we are in this life. We can live this life much more rich with consciousness. And we can learn to be more forgiving. And we can learn to be more loving and compassionate.
Beautiful.
So that's my parting. Educate yourself. Don't ever stop educating yourself.
Absolutely.
And just find the courage inside yourself to practice. Just do it.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Tanya, with you, time always flies. But share with the audience how to learn more about you and your work. Because I want to just get your message out there, too, because you are just so loving and beautiful. I just always love when you're on the show. Thank you so much for being here. But share your URL and how people can find out more about you.
Oh, deep gratitude to you, Sharon. Thank you. I'm easy to find. My website is drtanyag.com. So it's drtanyagee.com. I'm also on Facebook under the same name, Dr. Tanya G. Find me on Facebook. Easy to reach. Message me on Facebook or message me via my website. I'm always happy to receive emails, and I'm happy to dispense my information, my knowledge. It is my absolute heart's desire and delight. And so it is being on your beautiful show.
Thank you,
Sharon. Thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Oh, always my pleasure to have you on, Dr. Tanya, because it's always, I'm always getting the connections, I think, is what happens when I have you on the show. I start seeing where I've had other experts on, and you're able to bring this into full circle and connection for me. So if you've seen sort of these light bulb moments, that's what's been happening to me here. Everyone, we're out of time. I wish we could keep her on. We'll have her back soon. Everyone, go have a great weekend, whatever your adventure is. And as always, enjoy.
The information provided on LifeInterruptedRadio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. This episode is brought to you by MindfulnessInActionBook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by MindfulnessInActionBook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at MindfulnessInActionBook.com.